Go ahead and turn open to Proverbs chapter 13 tonight. Proverbs chapter 13. All right, so we'll just start off with reading one verse here. And it says in verse 20, it says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." We'll stop there. Father, we come before you tonight, and Lord, we just thank you for your goodness to us, and we thank you for allowing us to be here, and Lord, we pray that you would just be with this lesson tonight, Lord, this teaching, and I pray that you would open our eyes to the truth, Lord. We know that your Holy Spirit is what teaches us, Lord. It's not necessarily a man, and we know you use that, but Lord, in the end, it's your Holy Spirit that lightens our conscience and allows us to understand things. And Lord, we just pray that you would do that tonight and just make up for the shortcomings that are here today, Lord. And we just pray that you would bless it, and pray that you'd wash me in your blood and just help me to be able to get this to make sense, Lord, and that it would come out right. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so in verse 13 it says, verse 20, it says, "He that walketh among wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Now, I want to focus on the last part of that verse. It says, "But a companion of fools shall be destroyed." And this is more of a, like I said, more of a lesson tonight. I think it's going to be, it might be messy tonight. So hopefully you guys will bear with. The Bible does say a lot about fools. It does say a lot about a fool. It says a lot about foolishness, about folly. And so I'm kind of tonight, I'm not necessarily differing between each individual word. You could probably do that, and it would be a long study. But I'm going to go ahead and just go off of that last part. It says, "But a companion of fools shall be destroyed." And when you think about a fool, I don't know what you think, but, different definitions according to the dictionary. You have somebody who is ignorant, who maybe is mentally deficient or something like that. But according to the Bible, the Bible's use of the word fool is not like that. The use that the Bible has for fool is more somebody who is arrogant, who is contrary to God and things like that. And so there's that. There's also another word in there that I want to look at, and I feel like it's a very important part of the phrase. It says, "But a companion of fools shall be destroyed." And that word to me, companion, is a little bit interesting because I don't know about you, but it's when I hear the word companion, I think something more along the lines of a friend. But there's a difference because it's not using the word friend, it's using the word companion. So there is a difference there. I don't know if you recall this, but when Samson married that woman, it says that when he left, her father gave her to Samson's companion, whom he used as a friend. And so there is that. And so in the dictionary, in the 1812, it says that a companion can differ from a friend. It does not necessarily imply friendship. But you will see that a lot of the times in the New Testament, Paul will reference somebody, you'll say, "my fellow companion in labor," or something like that. And so a companion can be a friend, but it doesn't necessarily have to imply a friendship. It doesn't necessarily imply that you are a friend, which is also interesting for us because a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I mean, you look around and there's fools everywhere. I mean, and it's more so now, or it seems more pronounced now than it has been before. And for us, I mean, we all work in the world, and we're going to be around customers. We're going to be around our for some of you, it's your coworkers and things like that. And more than likely, that person may just be a fool. And you're going to have to be careful, and you're going to have to be able to, you're going to have to walk away from that person. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't work with them, but in, I think it's in 17, it says, go from the presence of a foolish man. When you don't see the words of righteousness in him. I totally messed that up, and we're going to wind up turning to it, but you're going to have to do that. And so anyway, so I kind of thought I would look at this and see, okay, so why will a companion of fools be destroyed? What is a fool? And that is super broad. You could go on for a long time, and trust me, I have no problem saying this. Somebody else could do a much better job of it than me. But that last part, that verse, it says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Now, something I want to point out about that, in my opinion, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. When I read that, I see some motive of the heart. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that, it's he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Why is he walking with wise men? He's obviously doing it for a reason, right? So he doesn't just happen to be in the company of a wise man, right? I mean, it's not like your coworker who just happens to be working with a saved guy. I mean, it's not like a happenstance. It's like you choose to walk. So you're walking with wise men, right? And so then it says, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And I kind of think that still speaks to a motive of the heart. Why are you walking with fools? Why if you are a companion of fools, why are you doing that? Why are you walking with them? And it says a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And so I want to talk about that for a little while, and I kind of want to talk about, there were three main things that I really saw come out in this, and I hope it's clear. But I saw some things that a fool does, or that a fool is. And so I want to name a few of those things off and just look at some references. Hopefully you won't have to go home tonight and like put your fingers in ice water to like soak them and like the bleeding to go down. So I apologize. I told Caleb I feel like this is going to be kind of like a barf message tonight. Like it's just going to go everywhere. So sorry. Anyways, but the first thing I want to point out, if you guys will go to Proverbs chapter 1. Go to Proverbs chapter 1, and there's something I want to point out with this. And there's a lot in this first point that you could go in, and you can kind of do your own study, and you could do a separate study on this. And I'm not going to do that. I'm going to try to condense it down. But the first thing I want to say is in verse 7. Look what it says. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. In verse 22, it says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. So one of the big problems, one reason why a companion of fools is going to be destroyed, and why you need to walk away from that stuff and be careful with your friendships, or careful who you're around, is because one thing that a fool does is he despises wisdom and knowledge. And it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And a fool actively rejects that wisdom. Now, we'll go into it, but I'll just ruin it here. There's obviously two different kinds of wisdom, right? Because the Bible talks about that, and we'll look at that, but I just want to say that the fool, he will actively reject God's wisdom. And that should be a red flag to you. And with that, it's interesting because even though the fool actively does that, you then have on the other hand God, who is actually actively trying to promote his wisdom. And so he's trying to put that out there. He's always trying to point man to his wisdom. And so you have that battle there. But look at chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "My son, if thou wilt be wise, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee." And so this fool, he actively goes against that. Whereas you have God who is constantly trying, he's constantly appealing to you, and he's constantly trying to get you to adhere to his wisdom and to his knowledge. There's more in there that I won't go into because it's kind of a separate point, but it's interesting. Look at verse 9. He says this. He says, "For all that stuff," he then says, "then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." So that right there shows you that if you're a fool, you don't understand that stuff. There's going to be a lot of stuff that you don't understand because you don't have any of God's wisdom in you. And so that fool, he actively rejects that. He despises it. Go to Psalm, or actually I'll just quote it, but in Psalm 94 verse 8, he says this. He says, "Understand ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? When are you going to listen? When are you going to adhere to my knowledge?" And for a lot of people, for as long as it's rejected, you'll never understand. You'll never be able to understand judgment. You'll never be able to stand righteousness, equity. And they have their own version of that stuff. But it's not right. It's twisted. It's perverted. My dad mentioned, Charles or Richard Dawkins this morning. You know, you have all those guys where they have all of this knowledge. And you have Sam Harris, and you have Jordan Peterson, and they have all of this knowledge. And they'll use the Bible. They'll use it. That's what they'll do. And it's tricky then, because they'll use it, and oh, they'll pull out their own little, "Oh, that's so cute." And they, like, that's what they'll do. They'll use it, but they don't have it. They have it, but they don't have it. And so he says, ye fools, when will you be wise? And as long as that book is rejected, and as long as that wisdom and that knowledge and instruction is rejected, they're fools. And that's how that is. Now, if you will, go to Romans chapter 1. So this is very familiar ground here. It irritates me so much hearing some of those guys talk, and they make whatever they're saying sound so good. And it was funny because Caleb and I, there's another contractor that I'll have to work with sometimes. And we were talking about somebody. I was like, "That guy doesn't believe the Bible." He's like, "Are you sure?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure." When he's asked blatantly, "Do you believe in God?" He's like, "Well, what do you mean? The God of Spinoza?" You know, and that's the thing, and it's just, it's like, whatever. Anyways, but in Romans chapter 1, look at verse 21. It says, "Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations," and here we go, "and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." And so, man will come up to God, and he'll look him in the face, and he then has to decide at that point what he's going to do. Do I believe in you? Am I gonna adhere to your knowledge and your understanding and your wisdom? Am I gonna take that or not? And in here, they said, we don't want it. And so the Lord says, okay, that's fine. And so it says their foolish heart was darkened. It's foolishness. They're fools, right? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And so you want to be careful about that. You need to watch those, you know, the companion of fools shall be destroyed. And if you're going to be around guys that have absolutely no regard and despise the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the Bible, you shouldn't be hanging around them. Amen. I mean, I understand you got to work with them, but, and you can notice, and people can notice on you, when you start to kind of lean a little bit their way, there's like a hardness that sets over. And you can see it. And you can sense it. And you know, you say something, you can just tell it's like stiff as a wall. Like they've got, like they get real hard. And it's just like, okay. But you need to be careful of that. But they reject God's wisdom. In Psalm 14:1, it says, the fool has said in his heart, right? So again, it comes down to that whole problem where it's their foolish heart was darkened, right? They're of this, they are willingly ignorant. They're willingly ignorant of it. And so they say that there is no God, and they profess to be wise. They create their own wisdom. They create their own wisdom, and many times, actually go to 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians 2. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. As they do that, many times there's their own wisdom is formed through different religions and different, you know, Jainism and all this junk or whatever that they have out there, but they'll form their own, they'll make their own knowledge from that. If you will go to chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's see, let's look at verse 4. Look what it says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. So there's obviously another kind of wisdom out there. There's a wisdom that you need to be careful of. He says that not with enticing man's words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Look at verse 13. It says this, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. So man's wisdom teaches something completely different. And they'll intermingle the Bible, or they'll intermingle biblical teachings. You know, they'll call it karma. No, you're just hijacking what the Bible says. You're just hijacking ideas that the Bible has. They'll use that, and they'll try to make it sound right. But it says, words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So man will make his own wisdom. You know, this is written to the Corinthians. Corinth was obviously in Greece. And Greece at that point, you have Athens. And that was the center of a lot of knowledge. And they created their own god through that. They created their own wisdom and knowledge through that. But it says at the end of verse 14, it says, for they are foolishness unto them. Because why? Because they have a foolish heart. Their foolish heart is darkened. So it's a scary thing, but so their foolish hearts were darkened. So God will speak. God will allow some things to be said to that foolish heart. And there's a lot of deceit that enters in there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 14, it says, verse 17, it says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And of course, you guys know that the main the wisdom that they reject is in verse 18. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" So then you have this worldly wisdom, right? You have man's wisdom. You have world's wisdom. Verse 23, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." You know what a fool does? He rejects the cross. He'll reject that. And he will come up with some way. There was when we were going to Brazil, and I had a Brazilian that was on my right, and we were talking, and of course, Brazil is obviously very Catholic, and so we were talking, and I'm talking to this guy, and I'm trying to witness to him, and like, it was just like, it was complete utter foolishness, because like, he was Catholic, but he just pick and choose from each different religion. It's like, dude, you can't do that. If you're gonna like, just pick one at least, you know. But it's like, I really like this, and I really like the matriarch, or the, what's the mother? Matriarch, right? Yeah, I just love the matriarchal spirit of the Catholic Church. And like, and then he's like, but then I like this. And it's just like, just pick something and stay to it, you know, and quit going around. But it was complete foolishness. But then you deal with him on the cross, and no, because that's foolishness. And it's amazing to me it doesn't seem foolish to us at all. But compared to the world, that is complete, utter nonsense. And it goes to show the spirit that's out there. Because if we can sit there and we can come in here, we can sing about this, we can cry about this, we can hear preaching about this, we can hear, and everything is based off of this that we have. And to us, it is absolutely everything. And to the world, it's just like, what? It's just foolishness to them. But they rejected that, and God says, okay, you want to reject that, you reject God's wisdom, right? And of course, we can go on down the line of what the consequences are. But the Bible says that a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And so you need to be careful that with the people that you're around. So go to chapter 3. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So the fool despises God's wisdom and God's knowledge. Also, it says his instruction. I'm not really talking about that as much. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at what it says in verse 18. "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise." And I know we've heard about, you know, the paradoxes of Christianity, or of the Bible, I should say, and all that, but it is funny how the Lord, this man puffs himself up so much in wisdom and knowledge, and he just gathers all of this stuff in. And like it says in Proverbs 18, it says that, it says something. Proverbs 18. You guys don't have to turn there, but it says, "Through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom." And so they study all of this wisdom, and they think that they're getting smarter. And really, they're just making it harder for themselves, because they're going up and up and up, and God says, you need to come way down here, and you gotta believe this foolishness. And God destroys the foolishness of the world. But anyways, in verse 18, it says, "Let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness." And as that fool that you always have to hear talk and blaspheme and all that stuff, if you're not careful, you start to, you know, maybe you're not friends, but you know, we're cool. You know, we're companions, you know. There's guys that we've worked with, and they're cool guys. but I can't be around them very much. You know, I mean, and they really are. They're cool guys, and we probably would line up just with secular things. We would probably line up with a decent amount of things. But I just, you can't go there. Why? Because a companion of fools will be destroyed. And you got to be careful with that. So that's what a fool does. He despises wisdom and knowledge. Now, there's something else that he does. If you will, go to Proverbs chapter 9. Again, just more of like a little bit of a Bible study here, but Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9, we'll look at verse 10. It says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Let's go to verse 6. It says, "Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding." So, something that I want to say here, and I don't know if this would be the correct verbiage for it, but I want to say that the fool refuses understanding. He refuses God's understanding. And it makes sense. It's kind of like the next step in progression. If you were just look at it practically, I mean, if he's going to despise God's wisdom, the next thing that he's naturally not going to accept is God's understanding. Right, so there's an understanding that you're supposed to have. It's the next logical step. I quoted it, but go to Proverbs 18. Flip to Proverbs 18. It says in verse 1, it says, "Through desire a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom." And then it says, "A fool hath no delight in understanding." So he has no delight in understanding. He doesn't want it. Go to Proverbs 2. Go to Proverbs 2. We read this earlier, but in chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom." So it's wisdom. You hear it, right? So you sit down and you hear preaching, or you go to school and you learn, right? You're gaining wisdom, right? And you hear it. But then look what understanding is. It says, "Incline thine ear unto wisdom," but it says, "and apply thine heart to understanding." So there's, again, something where there's something wrong on the inside. And I don't know about you, but maybe there's times where you don't even incline your heart to understanding. And you better be careful, because you'll start playing the fool if you're not careful. And you'll start to meddle with that, and again, it's not a path that you want to go down. But you need to incline your ear to wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. So again, you have that heart problem. Look at chapter 3, verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." That understanding, that thing that you've created in your heart, how you understand something, God says, don't go there. That's not how you're supposed to do it. You'll have some wrong understanding. So again, man then creates his own understanding. And he has like his own version of it. And you could go into that probably quite a bit, and we won't do that tonight. But he goes to this book, and he meets God. And then he has to decide, okay, am I going to adhere to this or not? Or am I going to refuse it? Am I going to reject this? And then he rejects it, right? So then what does he do? He then forms his own understanding, because he's not going to accept the understanding of what God has. In 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." You want God's, if you could get God's knowledge in your mind, you could then look at things and start to understand some things. And you could be able to put some puzzle pieces together and grow in your own Christian life. But they reject that. So what's going to happen? Go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. It says this, it says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Listen, you'll be a lot happier with God's understanding. You'll be happier with God's wisdom, don't get me wrong, but man, if you could get the knowledge of the holy in you, if you could sit down and be scolded by this book and be encouraged by this book and get that stuff in there, you'll be a happy man. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like it's all easy and, you know, it'll just be, you know, bunnies and clouds or whatever. It's not like that. I mean, there's going to be some hard things that you have to do and some hard things you have to face. But overall, you'll be a happy man. And it's interesting because in Ecclesiastes 7:9, it says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." Right. So fools are angry, right? Well, they're not happy. No, they'll act happy, and they may not necessarily actively think, "I'm not happy." But man, there's something down inside there. And there's an anger in there. It says the anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Go to chapter 12, Proverbs 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Verse 16, it says, "A fool's wrath is presently known." It rests inside of him. It rests inside him. It says, "A fool's wrath is presently known." In chapter 27, verse 3, it says, "A stone is weighty and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both." And so you wanna stay away from a fool. You don't want to be a companion of fools. You got to work with them. That's fine. I get that, right? You can try to be a light to them, and that's what you should do. But man, as soon as you kind of start messing around with them, and oh yeah, you know, we can... I'm not saying you're never supposed to go eat with them or have lunch or whatever. Like, I get that. But remember, it's a heart issue. So you can judge your own heart and say, probably shouldn't go there, you know? Bring up the Lord all the time. If you do eat with them, just bring up the Lord all the time and see what happens. Now, I think a good example of this, go to Joel chapter, or Jeremiah chapter 4. Go to Jeremiah chapter 4. They refuse understanding. They hate God's understanding. Jeremiah chapter 4. So a good example of this is Israel. Israel's a real good example. It's in Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 22. Look what it says. It says, verse 21, "How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge." Go to chapter 5. Says they have no understanding. Why? I mean, why don't they have any understanding? Chapter 5, look at verse 20. It says, "Declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not." Look at 23. It says, "But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, Let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain both the former and the latter in his seasons. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of harvest. For your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you." Now, I want to say this. You know, the question should be asked, why is there no understanding? Why don't they have understanding? Well, in verse 21, it says, "Hear now this, O foolish people, without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not." And I think that they have no understanding because they refuse to hear. And if you refuse to hear God's word, you'll be without understanding. And so this may be a little bit of a stretch, but it then makes me wonder. Remember in Matthew 23 where the Lord is saying, "Woe unto you scribes"? He calls them fools a lot. And so it makes me wonder if the reason why they have no understanding is because they're refusing to hear. And Jesus Christ is preaching. I mean, he's nailing them to the wall. But on the inside, they're refusing to hear. they're saying, we don't want that. We don't want that understanding. And so again, it all goes back to that heart problem. Go to Luke chapter 24. Go to Luke 24. I know that you could make some delineation between foolish and fools and things like that. I'm not doing that, but I just want to acknowledge that I know you could probably do that. Luke 24, verse 25. Look what it says. It says, just a little background. This is Jesus Christ. Those disciples are walking on the road of Emmaus. Jesus Christ walks up on them. And look what it says in verse 25. Then he said unto them, disciples. He's saying this to disciples? What? He says, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. Look at verse 44. Jesus Christ shows up to the disciples, and look what it says. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. See, the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And he just opened that up to them. I mean, imagine if the Lord could come in here right now, and I know that his spirit is among us, but imagine if he could get up here and just open everything up to us. And like just be able to see everything. I mean, you guys know how that goes when you're in a Bible study, and something will be said and you're like, it's like, that's the reaction. And that's just one little thing. But imagine if the Lord could do that and just open up your understanding. Like opening up a dam and just letting all that water flow through. It's like, wow. And so listen, he called him slow of heart. And so you wanna guard that. And it's always interesting to me the things that come back to the heart. But you want to stay away from a fool. You don't want to be a companion of a fool, because he'll refuse the knowledge, the understanding of God. Let's go back to Proverbs. Now this next point is, I feel like I don't have the greatest scripture to back it up. It's there, but I don't feel like it's the greatest. But I feel like you could find a lot more in there if you wanted to. And still, I feel like it's a very a pretty heavy biblical principle, though. In Proverbs chapter 15, look at verse 20. It says this. It says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Now, I'm going to stretch a little bit, but I'm going to say that another reason why you should stay away from a fool is because he hates authority. And it says that he hates, that he, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. And of course, I know there's other authoritative figures in the Bible, but a foolish son will despise his mother. He despises authority. And I feel like you could go through the Bible and just practically point out where somebody will despise authority over him. And if you're not careful, that'll be you. Go to 17, verse 10. It says, a reproof entereth more into a wise man, more than 100 stripes into a fool. Who would want to put stripes on a fool's back? Somebody in authority, right? And he despises that authority. And you know, I mean, how many times have you sat down and read your Bible and a verse hit you and you just despise that authority? And it just hits you just right. You're just like, you know? And you sit there and you got to correct your heart and say, no, you can't do that. You can't do that, you know. And you got to try to straighten yourself out there. But listen, a fool hates authority. He will not. He will not sit under anybody. Chapter 23, verse 9. 23, verse 9, it says, "Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words." He can't stand authority. He hates authority. So, he'll despise the wisdom of thy words. Now, for a fool that hates authority, whether it's authority at home, whether it's spiritual authority, or so on down the line, this is kind of the effect that he has. If you will, go to 19. Go to chapter 19. We're close to getting done here. But chapter 19, look at what it says in verse 13. So this is the natural effect that he has. It says, "A foolish son is the calamity of his father." That's a calamity to your father. And there's how many people in here that once when they were young played the fool? And the parents were just utterly embarrassed. It was a shame. They didn't want to talk about it, right? They thought about it. I remember somebody that used to go to church here and their sons kind of went off, and their kids, one of them went off and did his own thing, and he'd come in here and start talking about it, and he'd just cry. He just couldn't help it. Because it was just... I think we'll see the verse here, but it says that it's a heaviness. A foolish son is a heaviness. And, if you're not careful, I'll just ask it this way. Is that how you are to God? Are you just a heaviness to him? Like, does he think about you and it just grieves him? Like, why are you doing this? Like, just stop? why don't you just do right? Go to chapter 17, verse 21. "He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy." Do you cause your heavenly father joy? I hope so. And I hope you don't sit there and cause him sorrow. I hope you don't cause your parents sorrow. I hope you don't cause your real parents. All right, let's see. Go to chapter. Actually, no. Look at verse 25. It says this: "A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her that bear him." And listen, you need to stay away from a fool. And you know very well what a fool is, and you know very well that some of your friends are fools, and you shouldn't be with them. You shouldn't be friends with them. You're getting too close to them. You'll get too chummy at work. You got to be careful of that. Chapter 10, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon: "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." It's what it is. He hates authority, and so he, if he won't submit himself to the authority of God, which will then put him in authority of others, that's what he turns out to be. That's what he turns out to be. So in chapter 14, kind of wind this down here, in chapter 14, verse 7, it says this. It says, "Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge." Listen, a fool rejects God's knowledge. He rejects God's wisdom. And you can tell. I mean, you're not dumb. You can tell when he's not talking right. And you need to get away from that. He says you need to go from the presence of a foolish man. Verse 8, it says, "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way." Now, I could go either way with it, but I'll just look at it this way. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. Whose way? The fool's way. You should be able to pick that up. You should be able to understand that. Verse 8, "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand..." Verse 7, "Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge." The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. You should understand that. You're smarter than that. And at the end it says, "But the folly of fools is deceit." And if you're not careful, I mean, it's deceit is a scary thing to me because you don't know when you're deceived. And if you're, well, if you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived. And it's just, it's not good. It's a bad situation. And verse 9, it says, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. And so you need to get away from the fool. Go to chapter 15. Go to chapter 15 and verse 2. Chapter 15, verse 2, it says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. And one thing you have to watch out for there is their mouth. It's always, that's always a thing. But it's interesting to me because it says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. It's knowledge. Right? Why? Because he's not refusing the knowledge of God. But the fool does. Verse 14, it says, the heart of him that understandeth, that hath understanding, seeketh knowledge. But the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Chapter 16, verse 22, it says, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. But the instruction of fools is folly. And it's just, I got into this and it was confusing because it's like you got to organize it all to be able to try to get it across the pulpit and all that. But it's funny because the more I started looking at it and trying to organize, it's like, man, this is just like a whole big like conglomeration. It's just like a snowball rolling down a hill and it's just picking up everything else. And it just, it to me, that's what it seems like because he refuses God's knowledge, his instruction and his wisdom, his understanding. And like everything just goes downhill from there. Go to chapter 17, verse 12. 17, verse 12, it says, let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. I mean, that's pretty big. I mean, it'd be better for you to run into a bear with her young. That's pretty severe. You would be better off doing that than meeting a fool in his folly. Wow. Chapter 19, verse 22. Let's see. That's right. That's the wrong one. Anyways, listen, when you despise God's wisdom, you refuse the instruction, this is naturally the way things turn out. And so the Bible just says, it says a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I know that there could probably be a better sermon about that, but just kind of looking at the fool and what he is and what he does and what he refuses and what he turns away, it made more sense to me why a companion of fools is going to be destroyed. It's just an inevitable thing. Now, one thing that they will do, and you guys know this, but Psalm 14:1, I already quoted it, but it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And then it says this, corrupt are they. It says they're corrupt. And, you know, even David said, my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. And you want to be careful with your foolishness and you want to be careful with being around fools because the instruction of fools is folly, right? And it's going to feed you and you're going to feed off of that foolishness and it will corrupt you. And I know, I get it. I mean, we've all been all through class, you know, come all from all the way back to here. And we have these songs about, you know, not being around, you know, bad people and all that because evil communications corrupt good manners. That's like probably the first verse you ever learned in the Seder class. So we know it. We've heard it forever. And yet a lot of adults allow their communications to be corrupted. And they don't watch it. And they think because maybe they're an adult now, like, it, you know, I've got this under control. And you shouldn't do that. You need to be careful about that. And so go to Psalm 73. Go to Psalm 73. This is the last passage to turn to. Psalm 73. You guys know this chapter. Verse 1, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as of our clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps were well nigh slipped. For I was envy at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there were no the bands in their death, but their strength is firm. And so you have this Psalm of Asaph, and he's going through all of this. And in verse 3, it says, "For I was envy at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Let's go to verse 5. "They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride hath compassed them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt." They are corrupt. They are corrupt. Fools corrupt. Okay? "They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth." And he goes down through this whole thing. And then in verse 22, he goes through that whole thing. And then he says this: "So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee." He goes, "I can't." He goes, "My feet were well nigh slipped." He goes, "I almost fell for it. And I can't believe that I was so foolish to look at the fools and believe them. I believe their life. Everything that they're doing, I believed it. I was dumb enough to." If Asaph can be foolish enough to believe that, surely somebody as spiritual as you could also realize that, right? And so listen, so the Bible says, it says a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And so just maybe a little reminder to stay on track. Maybe if you're slipping, kind of pull yourself back up onto the tracks. Try to get back on the right path and get going. All right, we'll pray. Lord, we just thank you for this night, and just thank you for your goodness.